Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Sarah Lane and Leo Laporte, episode 89 for February 25th, 2009. Drew Curtis of FARC. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by GoToMeeting, online meetings made easy. For a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting for your PC or Mac, visit GoToMeeting.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And in San Francisco, California, I'm Sarah Lane.
And in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur.
What the heck? Who's... Huh? How'd she get in here?
I'm only here for a few minutes, but I just wanted to come on and say hello, and you guys have been doing an awesome job, and I definitely missed the show, but of course I have commitments.
Amber, congratulations.
Congratulations,
thank
you, Amber.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness. Tell us all. So how is it? How is Connor?
He's great. He's so far, he's been a really good baby, and he eats and sleeps in kind of 3-hour blocks over the course of 24 hours. So I'm getting little bits of sleep here and there, and I'm just thrilled. And he's healthy and happy, and he's a lot of fun. And I've never changed diapers. I think I've changed hundreds and hundreds already.
You know, I remember the first time I changed diapers, and I have to say that the learning curve, you know, it's pretty quick. Yeah, the first one's hard, and after about four, you know, there's not much more to do.
Yeah.
You know how to do it.
You definitely learn quickly. And I mean, there's sometimes when I look in his diaper and I think, okay, this is a job for Chris, you know.
So. And you're allowed to do that. How's the baby sleeping?
He's sleeping really well. So, you know, he'll sleep for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, then he gets up and feeds and then goes back to sleep about half an hour after that. So he definitely is on some type of schedule. Of course, there's interrupted sleep, but it's not that bad. And he doesn't cry a lot, which I think has just been wonderful.
Oh, I'm so happy for you too.
He's really cute.
Great.
So when I come back on the show in a couple of weeks, I'll make sure that he's there and he can make his own appearance as well.
Great. Sure. That'll be fun.
First Net at Night baby.
I know. It'll be lots of fun. So you guys have a busy show, I hear.
We do. We've got Drew Curtis from FARC coming up. It's their 10th anniversary. And we've got a lot of links. We're going to talk about Twitter. You came back and started Twittering right away, didn't you? I mean, I was surprised how quickly. You Twittered the baby's birth.
I know. You know what? I don't remember that. I remember being in the hospital, and hours later, I sent this tweet out, and then all of a sudden, Chris says me, hundreds of people have just added me on Twitter. And I was like, oh, I think I sent that out earlier today. it was a bit of a blur because I was in labor for 22 and a half hours. So the next morning was just, I hadn't slept or anything. And I was just, you know, you're so excited and so much adrenaline and everything.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I had to send something out.
Well, congratulations. It's so great to talk to you. Join us soon. Which, as you could tell, the show's in good hands with Sarah Lane.
Yes, thank you so much, Sarah, again. I really appreciate you filling in.
Well, your shoes are big and hard to fill, but it's very fun. So thank you so much for letting me in your absence. And say hi to Connor for me.
I will for sure, guys. So have a great show, and I will talk to you both soon, I'm sure.
That's great. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. Amber MacArthur. Bye-bye, Amber.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
See you later. Oh, that's so great. That's
you know,
so cool.
I love how she was like, I don't really remember sending that tweet. You know, and in the frenzy of it all, I happened to get on Twitter and tell everyone I was up there.
I kind of know how that happens. You know, everything's quite a blur, and I could see how that could happen.
You know, you don't sleep for, 3 years.
Yeah.
So then those years are blurs as well.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Well, anyway, it's great. It's great to see her, and she's obviously doing well. And
sounds great.
So let's get to the news. Drew is going to join us any minute now. He'll call in and we'll have him on the line.
Indeed.
But before we talk to Drew, good news. I don't have to give up my Facebook.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that great? So Facebook, you know, last week when we talked about it, you were saying, listen, this is, you know, this is not looking good. They're all of a sudden going to keep all of our data, even after we, after, you know, you cancel your account, and Facebook supposedly is going to, you know, keep everything that we've uploaded.
Yeah.
Pictures and video and text and everything about you. And they, Mark Zuckerberg had posted a blog post last week and said, all right, everybody, you're kind of freaking out. We're not going to do anything like that. We're just making some changes to our legal speak. And people would not let up. People were pissed.
Some people did quit Facebook, didn't they? I mean, I know a New Yorker writer quit.
I was
on the fence. You know, in the past, I think maybe I've learned a little bit of a lesson. I'm such a hothead. In the past, I would have quit right away and regretted it, just like I left Twitter kind of in a huff and had to come back with my tail between my legs 6 months later. And I put it off, and I'm glad I did now.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, it's kind of interesting because you left Twitter and then you came back and, you know, it's not really like you were penalized for it.
I mean, it's like I never left. Yeah.
it was, you know, it all worked out really well for you.
Although the penalty for you of leaving Twitter is that, you know, you're
farther down on the users by timeline.
Well, but the real penalty is you lose your friends. Your friends are on Twitter and you're off wandering in the wilderness. In my case, it was in Jaiku.
Right.
And it was like,
you feel left out a little bit.
I was missing the fun. The party went on without me.
Twitter party is a raging one. Let's admit, I mean, that's just, it just is. Everybody's on Twitter. It's hard not to be and feel like you're, you know, part of the fun. I guess with friend feed and
I like friend feed. I really do like friend feed. And I use it for the conversation, you know. And one of the conversations that's going on like crazy right now on friend feed is about this Twitter suggested user list. When you join Twitter as a new user,
right,
they pre-populate. You can see what it is, by the way. You can just,
if you go up to find people,
right,
you can see if the over on the right hand side, the suggested users tab, you can see who their suggested users are. But if you're brand new and you're signing up an account, it gives you a select all option. Defamer, you know, Felicia Day.
Well,
obvious people, some not obvious.
The difference is that they're all checked. So if you just go next, you're going to get them all. So
unless you specifically uncheck them.
Unless you uncheck them. Right.
Do.
So when you are joining Twitter, you go there. Now, they are rotating these, and some of them are pretty cool, but some of them are very obviously commercial. Dell Outlet, JetBlue Airways. There's two New York Times. The LA Times noted in an article that there are no LA Times. There never have been. Whole Foods Market. Why would Whole Foods Market be something people would want to have on their Twitter list automatically?
Whole Foods Market, I don't know. That's a really good question. I wasn't aware that they were rotating these, by the way, so that's at least a step in the right direction.
Well, they're not rotating them a lot, though. I mean, there's six.
Well, I haven't been featured, so clearly not enough.
Neither you nor I. But somebody named Allison, she was with a band that you probably know called A Fine Frenzy.
I've never heard of them. I'm sure they're wonderful, but no, I don't know that.
Well, here's the interesting thing. When they started doing this in early February, she had 5 followers. She now has 72,000 followers.
I've never even broken 20,000. Thank you very much.
She's only following 2 other people. And so there is definitely a prejudice that, you know, there's real power to Twitter's recommendations. And, you know, I know why they haven't recommended me. I didn't expect them to. They don't recommend me because I'm critical of Twitter. But
so you think it's a deliberate unfeaturing of you?
I think it's what they call it. And I believe this is true. They say it's like the staff picks in a bookstore.
At a bookstore. And that's, you know, if you think of it that way, you go, yeah, okay, fine. But it's different. You know, the problem is, you know, obviously a lot of bloggers have been talking about this, obviously, on friend feed and, you know, places where people love to talk about Twitter follower numbers. And the problem is that, you know, a lot of the people that are featured are already the most popular people on Twitter.
Well, except me.
So then their numbers are inflated by, well, except you.
But see, I was left out of that. Now, it sounds like I'm being bitter.
And you are a little.
The number of people who follow you, whether that's meaningful or not to you and me, is very meaningful to a lot of other people. I don't think, for instance, that I would be would have been on that top 25 most digital, you know, whatever people, had I not been, you know, so high on Twitter. So I think our advertisers consider it when they buy advertising.
Absolutely. And it's also, you know, if someone's already popular and they, you know, this whole recommendation throws them up another 50K, well, then they're even more popular and untouchable. And it starts to kind of skew the natural progression of people learning about people. And then those top people become these sort of super users by smart tweeting of their own. I'm not saying these people don't deserve to have a lot of followers. I'm saying it's not because you did anything organically. That's where I have a problem with it. And a lot of people have the same problem, especially since it appears that so many of these new accounts are not even real people at all. It's just a bunch of spam stuff.
Well, and that's another question, isn't it? Is who are these people? Let me show you a graph. This is from Twitter Counter. So I'm the middle one in the blue. If you're watching on video, if you go to Twitter Counter, you can do a comparison over the last 3 months of me. I'll use Kevin Rose. Actually, I should use Kevin Rose and TechCrunch as the three different ones. So the green one is Kevin Rose. The purple one is TechCrunch. I'm the blue one. Now I have a nice steady progression over the last 3 months. Which is what you'd expect from, you know, all of a sudden, though, on February, I think it was February 6th, look at this sudden jump that Kevin and TechCrunch, almost identical, have had. And that's what we're talking about. People who are on the suggested list are getting 5,000 and 6,000 followers. And a number of people have pointed out, Robert Scoble and others, that most of these followers don't look like typical followers. They aren't posting. They're not putting pictures on. They aren't adding anybody else. Now, here's Scoble's point. He said, if you followed Sarah Lane, if you heard Sarah Lane say, follow me on Twitter, of course, you'd go to Twitter and you'd follow her.
And you'd want to because I'm excellent.
So even if you accepted their suggestions, you'd have Sarah plus 26 suggestions. None of these people have any more than those original 26 suggestions. There isn't that one extra one that they went there to follow.
Right.
There isn't CNN. There isn't somebody else. So what is going on?
I don't know. It's bizarre. I don't think anybody who's being featured is in on it necessarily.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, when you see Whole Foods, when you see certain brands like Dell and Whole Foods on there, I have to think this, if it isn't yet a monetization technique, it's clearly planned to be. Twitter's doing two things with this. One, they're showing that they're artificially increasing the numbers very rapidly. And that's good for their valuation. Two, they're demonstrating, even if they're not asking people to pay, they're demonstrating that there is value in being on this list. So when they do go to people, presumably they plan to, and say, for a couple of bucks, you could be on this list, people will say, oh, yeah, I want to be on that list. Now, here's my question. Does it matter? On Twitter, you follow who you follow. Does it matter that there's a lot of spam bots on Twitter? Does it matter that there are all these celebrities on Twitter? Does it matter that some people have a lot more followers than others? Isn't it just a conversation between you and me and whoever we choose to follow?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's the great thing about Twitter is that, and I've got a lot of weird spam accounts following me too. Every once in a while, I'm clicking through and there are these people, they don't have pictures. They've never said anything. They don't, it's like they follow me and, Veronica or something. They don't bother me because if I'm not following them, even if they were sending out, Viagra ads every 2 seconds, I would never know. But it lends itself to that sort of icky bloat of a service. Knowing that it's there really bothers me. I don't really know why. It's not really my cross to bear, but I just think that it's messy. Twitter needs to be able to control that kind of a thing.
It's what happens on AOL. It's what happens on other services when, just a lot of undifferentiated people get thrown in there the idea for Twitter was, well, look, if you're new to the service, you won't have any messages if you don't follow anybody. So they reasonably want to kind of pre-populate your list. But
it makes sense. It just doesn't seem to be working well.
I think the people who go there and get this pre-populated list are going to have a very different opinion of what Twitter is than somebody who goes there organically and figures out who they want to follow. Maybe starts because they heard Sarah Lane talk about it. They go, they add Sarah Lane. Now they've got one. They're seeing your tweets. They want some more. What do? They see who you tweet about. They see who you follow. And they organically add people.
Exactly.
Based on their like of you. And so I think they're going to get a much better experience on Twitter.
And that's the beauty of Twitter, is your Twitter stream doesn't look anything like mine. Even though we know a lot of the same people, it's a very individual experience. And, you know, you follow all the featured tweeters, and all of a sudden you and the last 50,000 people who signed up are all getting the same thing.
I have to say, you and I were both watching the Academy Awards, and it was like watching it together.
Because
you'd be tweeting and I'd be tweeting, and it was fun. It was like I was watching it with about 20 of my friends who happened to be people I never met on Twitter.
Exactly. It's so much fun. And it's I love those moments. I was just talking about this with somebody because it's like, of all the people who are following me on Twitter, and, you know, I mean, it's a decent amount. Only about 10 of them were also talking about the Oscars. The rest of them were just irritated with us or who knows what they were
thinking. Oh, they were. I got so many people saying, stick to IT subjects. Stop talking about other things. And I thought, you know what? Sorry, that's not... I'm not going to just only talk about motherboards. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But and it's fun. It's good. There is a certain amount of sort of... It's like a micro community within Twitter where you have these like, you know... You're hyper compatible with people about certain things.
Exactly.
So then you sort of rise to the top, and then, you know, the Oscars are over and we all kind of go back into our little lives.
It's social.
It's great.
It's social.
It's social.
I did the same thing during the Super Bowl. You know, it's just what makes this is what social media is all about. Hey, we're going to talk to Drew Curtis of FARC in just a little bit. We have some great links. Last week we talked about the website, This Is Why You're Fat. now we're going to talk about websites which is about food that you shouldn't be eating. Now we're going to talk about websites with viral videos you might have missed. We've got some.
Have
you seen? Was it on this show or was it on Munchcast? This Is Why You're Fat. Have you seen this double log?
I think I've heard of it.
Okay, while I talk about GoToMeeting, go look at thisiswhyyourefat.com. If you'll either come back, and I think you're such a healthful person, you either come back from this starving or revolt. Yeah, I thought you were going to say revolted. Meanwhile, while Sarah looks at that, I want to tell you about something that is far from revolting. It's something that's wonderful. It's called GoToMeeting. We love the folks at Citrix. They are the guys who do GoToMeeting, GoToMyPC, based on the same technology. It's essentially remote access technology. They did GoToMyPC, and then they said, wait a minute, you know, you could use this for meetings as well. GoToMeeting works this way. You go there right now, gotomeeting.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. Before I'm done talking, you'll have installed it. It's that quick. And by the way, you don't need to call the IT department. You don't need to configure your router. It's just boom, boom, boom. Now it's installed. Works on Mac or Windows. Now, here's the deal. Instead of you kind of accessing your office remotely, GoToMeeting allows you to show your computer screen to people you're talking to on the phone, whether it's a sales call, a training call, or collaboration. Hey, there's FARC. Drew Curtis.
FARC.
Hey, Drew, can you hear us? Hey, Drew. Oh, wait a minute. Why can't he hear me? There he is. Hey, Drew, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Sorry, I'm running a little late.
No, don't worry. We're in the middle of a GoToMeeting spot. If you don't mind, I'm going to finish it, and then we're going to talk to you.
Sounds great.
That's called a tease in this business.
Good stuff. Hey. I like that. That's excellent. More of that, please. I'll take 100.
He likes being teased. So here's the deal. You set it up on your computer, and now you call a client, a colleague, somebody you want to show something to, and you say, hey, go to gotomeeting.com. Here's the meeting ID. Or you can use your Outlook and, you know, a couple of clicks of the mouse. You've sent them an invitation to an upcoming one. It has built-in voice over the internet, built-in voice conferencing. That's all free. Less than $50 a month for as many meetings as you want, as often as you want. Get one for the office. You'll use it all the time. But try it free first. That's the deal. You know, the best. I tell all our clients, all our advertisers, try it free. We have smart listeners. If they don't get to try it free, they're going to say, I want to see it first. They like to kick the tires. So we've got this deal. GoToMeeting.com/night. 30 days unlimited use, as many meetings as you want. Show your clients. They'll love it. It makes these much more engaging than a conference call. Show your colleagues. Work together. I've done it for rehearsal on the speeches. The Gizwiz used it to plan his website with Ludwig in Poland. I mean, it's amazing. GoToMeeting.com/night. PC and Mac compatible. You can have meetings right from your office and multiple users in multiple locations. It's just, if you've tried other ones, and we were using, I don't want to name names, but we were using the Microsoft product the other day. Because that's
one of those competitors.
That's what ADP, our payroll service, uses. And I wanted to like shake them and say, this is terrible. First of all, it won't work on a Mac. I said, this is terrible. I mean, come on. It's slow. It's painful. Go to meeting.com/night. Just do it right. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Drew Curtis.
Hello.
I think we got to do like the Muppet Show intro where you get guns in the background. Yeah, we need something like giant dancing monsters too. I don't have any right now, unfortunately.
Drew, I can't believe it's been 10 years.
You know, me neither, actually. It's really funny when people congratulate you on that because it doesn't really seem like you did anything other than not stop, you know? It's kind of like, that's how I describe people. That's how you finish a 10K race. It's the same thing, although that's a little bit different, I guess, because you're really pushing hard. But, yeah, as long as you don't stop, you make it eventually.
When did we start having you on the Screensavers? It was about 8 years ago, something like that?
It was really early, yeah. It was like, I think it was 2000 probably was the first time, because it could not possibly have been 1999. We were way too small then. So I think it was probably, I must have done it the first time in the fall of 2000.
So much fun. We'd have you on, and you just come up with the weirdest sights. And it was just, I loved doing it. And now, how many links later? I mean, do you know?
Yeah, we're closing in on 5 million, which is kind of a large number considering we've been rejecting duplicates the entire time. So if we weren't doing that, you can multiply times 20 probably.
5 million wow. Unique pages. Wow.
So that just links out. Page views are around 6 to 8 million a month, and our uniques are at 5 million right now.
You know, and I think when Kevin Rose sells Dig for millions of dollars...
I can't wait, by the way, because I'm like, great. I actually talked to Jay Adelson. I said, Jay, when you guys sell, let me know who the number two bidder was.
Well, I'm just saying, he ought to write a check for $1 million to you, because it's basically, I know that he must have gotten the idea for Dig looking at FARC, because it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah, actually, he told me he did, but, you know, whatever. I mean, it's not like it's like rocket science. It's like, you know, anybody could have started a steakhouse, too. You know, I mean, it's not that the idea of having a steakhouse is difficult. We can all make steaks, but some of us can do it and some of us can't, you know? No big deal.
Well, and I think one of the nice things about FARC is that, obviously, you've made changes behind the scenes, but for the most part, it's the experience that you know and love from FARC. You know,
The reason for that is because we don't have any venture capital, so we don't have, like, 200 employees sitting around trying to justify their existence. So we don't have people making changes to you know, basically keep their jobs.
How many people do you have working at FARC?
We actually have employees now, which is like a relatively new development, but not many. We've got four other than me.
I met your sister-in-law at the Jonathan Colton concert.
That's right. She's our head coder, actually. She lives out in San Francisco, and our design guy lives out in Atlanta, and our system guy lives with me in Kentucky, and sales guy's out in Montclair, New Jersey.
That's it?
That's spread all over. Yeah, that's it.
Isn't that amazing? A decade of success on the internet with one and now four people?
And 16 million uniques a month.
Yeah, well, five, but I'll take 16.
Oh, I thought you said, 5 million unique links. How many unique visitors a month? Five?
Yeah, it's five million.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, no, we'll take it. I mean, well, the thing is you don't really need that many people to do this. Like, I look at some of the venture-funded companies out there in Silicon Valley, and I can't figure out what all those people are doing. Like, I mean, Facebook has like, you know, several thousand employees, but I don't know what those guys are up to because they don't seem to change anything that often other than their terms of service as of late.
Yeah, no kidding.
Ooh. Yeah.
No kidding. Now, you do something called Total FARC. That's a subscription service, yeah?
Yeah, and I'm actually the world's worst salesman for that because we charge $5 a month so that people could see all the links. And when I was setting that up initially, I was thinking that that might be of interest to somebody. But it turns out that several thousand people have signed up for it, but I don't think it was for that. I think they just like the fact that they have a little mini community in the back, and it really does have a feel of the way that FARC was back in the first couple of years or so. So I think that it's more of a community that kind of strips out all the riffraff for $5 a month. It kind of keeps it to the people that they just want it to be.
I think that's very smart. I think that's really smart.
Well, it was a complete accident, honestly. The only thing I did was not put it away.
Well, start selling. We're going to sell it for you. When you go to FARC, join Total FARC, $5 a month. It's a community. It's your own little place. You can ignore the riffraff.
And we spent all the money on beer and strippers.
You did move boobies off.
Yes, we did. We had to because of advertisers don't like to touch that stuff. And it kind of sucked because I had an argument with these guys for a while, but the ones that finally sold it for me were the guys who run The Sun in England.
Yeah.
They've got their Page Three girls where they have a topless chick in every single issue of The Sun that sells, period. And the circulation is like something like 10 million in England. And I sat down with those guys who were talking about it, and they had to do the exact same thing. They had to move that content over to page3.com because they couldn't get anybody to run ads against it, period. For whatever reason, they said, you know, it doesn't matter how many bikini-clad women you show up in a Budweiser commercial, they will not advertise next to nipples for some reason. Mm.
Well, I think I understand that. And you have it looks like I'm looking at, because you have sections, you have sports, business, geek, showbiz, politics, music, video. Sports has sports ads, you know, and so you've got it very targeted. Geek will have geek ads. I think this is, even if you didn't design it this way, it's brilliant.
Yeah, well, like I said, it just kind of organically grew that direction, and we had some dead ends, and not everything we tried worked, but, you know, at the end of the day, it kind of became what it is. Interestingly enough, the boobies links are actually still there. We sequestered those off on a site called Foobies, and I point that out because we've recently been doing a deal with Mr. Skin right now because of two reasons. One, I don't really know what to do with that. I mean, I like boobs, but I don't know how to monetize that kind of thing, and it's not really what I'm interested in doing. So, and the other reason is because Mr. Skin came to us because basically we're the only other site on the internet that's just about people being naked.
You and Mr. Skin, huh?
Yeah, well, everybody else goes a little too far down the way. You know, they're kind of the same mind. And so I'm like, I'm hoping that they'll eventually just take the whole thing over because I don't really know what to do with it.
Interesting. That's good. Now, one of the things, you have a political page, and of course, politics, if you think boobies are tough, politics even tougher nowadays.
Yeah, well, it's even more interesting on our site because of the fact that I don't really know how to account for this exactly, but for whatever reason, our users are really even as far as, like, you know, we got an even number of people on the left and people on the right, which is very unusual, especially for news aggregators. And I think part of the reason is because of the lack of voting means that you can't hijack the entire process. And that allows us to be able to make sure that there's an equal number of links going out every single day. And one of the things we try to do is take the political stuff and swing it really hard left or right, because honestly, I don't really have any respect for any politicians out there. They're all type A personality, picked aside at random.
So you have a thermometer at the top, the political inclination thermometric analyzer, or PITA.
Yeah, which is a PITA, which PITA also stands for something else. Yeah. It's a pain.
and you've really come, like, in the past 30 days, you're right down the middle.
Yeah, we generally try to keep it right there. We put that up because people kept on accusing us of being biased in one direction or the other. So we're like, look, here's the deal. This is what we're choosing. Strangely enough, we had a bunch of people write in and complain, saying that they didn't like us choosing in order to have a fair and balanced website, but, like, you know, a really honest to God fair and balanced website, but they didn't realize we were doing it all along in the first place. So I figure since they didn't notice before, they shouldn't notice now.
That's a good idea. Has there ever, I have to ask this, Drew, I mean, of all the stories and all the links and, you know, all the viral videos and everything, you know, over the last 10 years on FARC, is there something that's far and away the most popular?
As far as, like, type or actual specific link?
Actual specific link, like the number one, you know, the dramatic chipmunk of FARC.
Oh, right, yeah. You know, it's kind of hard to say because it's such a moving target. I mean, one of the interesting challenges you have at being 10 years old on the internet is that you have a demographic shift after a while. Basically, you know, your core audience starts out being, like, you know, I was 26 years old when I started the site, so it was all basically college kids and whatnot. And now that it's moved on, it's still a lot of college kids, but the initial audience is still there, so now it's spread out a lot. And as a result, it really diversifies, and you don't have a lot of people going after the same thing over and over again. But as far as that goes, though, I'd have to say the funniest thing that happened in the last year was last year, right before baseball season started, the New York Mets decided to hold a vote to see, because the Boston Red Sox have a song. They play Sweet Caroline during the eighth inning. And the Mets decided they wanted to have some kind of a song, and stupidly put it online and said, you guys vote for this, and we'll choose whatever you guys pick. So we linked to it, and there was a write-in box, and we told everybody to write in Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. And then I hit Alexis over at Reddit and said, dude, jump in on this with me. And then Dig followed suit, and pretty soon 5 million people voted for this thing.
Hey, we got one. We want you to enlist the FARC crew.
Yeah, sure.
You know, Steve Wozniak's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, very nice.
Doesn't have a chance. He weighs 800 pounds. We want the geek community to show our power. We want him to win Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, is that like an internet vote, right? You got to call in for that.
I don't know. We're going to figure that out. Is it only phone?
If it's internet stuff, we can absolutely dominate it. The problem with the call-in stuff, it's like $2 a vote, and you tell people that, and they're like,
we want to hack it.
I don't know about $2.
Let's hack it.
Dancing with the Stars makes you pay.
Let's hack it. I want the wise.
You have to very, very strongly encourage people not to do it, and then just kind of stand back and see what happens.
Oh, so you've learned. You've learned how to do this perfectly. Yes,
exactly.
We would.
Yeah,
we are.
I highly recommend that no one hack the voting process on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. No one should do this. No one.
No one should vote. No, I mean, everyone should vote. Vote your conscience. Do not hack Dancing with the Stars, the voting. Do not.
That's right. No one should. Absolutely no one should do that.
It would be wrong.
Yes, it would be wrong to vote for Woz unless he's really the best dancer.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs is in it. I'd vote for Steve Jobs. I'd pay $2 for
it. It is an 800 number. It's a free 800 number to vote.
Cool.
Well, there you go. All right, then we're in.
And you can text. Now, if you can text,
that'll do it.
We can get it done. Not that you should in any way. But I just want to point out there's a fat nerd in Dancing with the Stars, and all you fat nerds, you know what to do.
That's right.
You call that 800 number and you vote.
Vote your conscience. Vote your conscience. So, Drew, what is the most popular subject if you take boobies out? Because we know boobies is going to be the most popular subject.
It's mostly stupid crime, with the major subset of that being out of Florida. that's not a purpose. That's just where it all happens for some reason. There's something going on down in Florida. I don't know what it is, but they're crazy down there.
I love dumb crooks. I don't know what it is about them.
I tell you, every single day it's something. It's usually, you know, it's getting to the point where I can almost write an entire book based off of that. I mean, there's so many different categories, like the guy who leaves his ID at the scene, the guy who, you know, is trying to escape in his getaway vehicle and runs out of gas or flags down a taxi or something. It's getting to the point now where I don't know that I'd actually be surprised anymore by anything anybody did that was dumb. Although, actually, I tell you, my all-time favorite caper, though, was a couple of guys where I did the normal thing you do down in Florida when you get pulled over, and they ran from the cops.
Yeah.
More to the point, they drove off, and they were basically, they took a wrong turn and ran all the way across the Air Force base they got out there in Tampa. And got 3/4 of the way across before they were apprehended, which also begged a whole bunch of other questions. Is that, how exactly did they get 3/4 of the way across? You know, shouldn't somebody have stopped them before they got that far?
The book, by the way, it's not news, it's FARC, how mass media tries to pass off crap as news. This isn't about FARC. This is about mass media. You're now an expert. You're a cultural expert.
It's actually kind of interesting because the only interview the only review of this book you can read of anybody you've ever heard of, and there weren't that many anyways, was by Jack Schaefer over at Slate, who's a fairly well-known media guy. And for most people who don't know Jack Schaefer, he hates everything. He hates the media. He thinks they're a bunch of jerks. He loved this book. He absolutely loved it. And he spent the first page of his review talking about how no one else reviewed this. Like, no one panned it. No one reviewed it. And he said, given the number of people in the media that read FARC, it's kind of shocking that no one did. He said, until you read it and find out that it's absolutely 100% correct.
And then you know.
And then he says, and that's the problem, is that basically, it's not that we're calling them out. We just kind of lay out the patterns the media uses in order to get news on when nothing's happening. You know, like getting people excited about bacteria on doorknobs or, you know, whether or not there's going to be another earthquake in California, as if, you know, that's any kind of amazing prediction. or the fear-mongering type stuff like that, or, you know, you've got seasonal articles that happen every year. Like we just had the made-up article about how much money is lost because of the Super Bowl in productivity. First of all, it's quantifiable. And second of all, as if that's actually, like, you know, reasonable considering it's a Sunday and not that many people work. But every year, an accounting firm will take that number, they'll add $20 million to it, and they'll run it up the flagpole again, because really what that is an advertisement for an accounting firm. Now, I'm not saying they paid for it, but they've learned how to craft a media article in such a way that the media will grab it and run it as an article, which is much better than advertising if you can do it.
Did you become an expert on this because of FARC, or is this something you've always studied in the
Actually, it was because of FARC. The problem was that after reading pretty much every mainstream news article that came out over the last 10 years, my brain exploded. And you just start seeing patterns after a while, though. You know, I mean, what's interesting is that those patterns completely disappear when something happens. When there's any kind of a news event, they go away. Which is interesting. And it's basically, you know, the media's got to sit around and try to figure out how to keep all these people busy until they've got something to cover. And then they jump all over it, and then it goes away again. And the problem they've got is it's the 24-hour news cycle. If they were only doing a half-hour news show every single day, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But the problem is that they got 24 hours to cover, and not that much stuff happens in a given day. And they've just got to fill it up, so...
Gee, we don't
like that stuff. I check it out.
We don't know anything about that. At Tech Live, we had an eight or 9 hour news cycle every day about tech news. There's nothing to say for now.
And it was in, remember, it was 2001, and so it was all bad news.
Oh, yeah, it was the worst time to be launching
something. It was like the timing couldn't be worse. Oh.
Well, if you want to see an example of what happens when you start, like, you know, going down into little different, like, types of news, check out, like, if you want to make your eyes bleed, watch ESPN News. And it's not that they're doing a bad job, but, I mean, you guys think you got nothing to talk about. Those guys really have nothing to talk about. Yeah. Because one of the things that they can't talk about anymore on news, I mean, they could, but it's kind of pointless, is scores. Because if we want to know what the score of the game was last night, we just go look it up online.
Good point.
We're not going to sit there and watch ESPN News for 15 minutes till they talk about it.
That's,
we're just going to go
point.
Find it.
That really
so
has changed.
They're going to shift their news cycle to talk about other stuff, like what's A-Rod doing lately? Hey, he's been hanging out at Madonna's place. Hey, Peter thinks that's kind of bad. Yeah, it's turning into male soap operas. What's happening?
That's a very good, that's an excellent point. You know, that used to be half that show would be the scores. Now you know.
Right. They can't do it. They have to go to other off-field antics, basically, and other stuff, too. And, you know, like, interviewing athletes is always good because somebody eventually says something stupid, and they can make that a headline. So, you know, I feel bad for them, honestly, because they're trapped. You know, they've got this cable channel. They got 24 hours to fill it, and not a whole lot to talk about.
I don't know anything about that.
No, it sounds very, very different than anything I've experienced.
Exactly. Well, every journalist that's read this book has actually told me that they're actually shocked at how accurate it is as far as the coverage of the news goes.
Yeah. Well, this is one you must read. It's not news. It's crap. No, it's not news. It's FARC.
You were right.
How mass media tries to pass off crap as news. And by the way, I don't know why, but bargain priced right now, $6.99 on Amazon.
That's right. Well, it's been out for about a year, so I'm actually getting ready to work on another one on politics.
You strike me as
breaking down stuff.
You might have been a poli sci major in school.
No, I wasn't. I was comp sci, actually.
Really?
I was a history minor, though, and that's where a lot of this comes from.
Okay. Well, Drew, it's so great to talk to you. I miss the days that we would talk every week on the screensavers.
Yeah. But I'm that was a great time.
Thrilled to see how well you're doing, and it was great. It was such a surprise to meet. Is it Meg? It was such a
It's Meg. Yeah, running her in line,
and you know, we were talking, and I didn't really know anything about her, and I kind of towards the end, it was, my wife and I were waiting to see Jonathan Colton and Veronica and Ryan with us. Towards the end, I said, "Well, what do you do?" Because I was talking to her boyfriend who works at Apple. I said, "Well, what do you do?" Yeah. She said, "Oh, this thing called FARC, you've never heard." I said, "What?" I said, "Say hi to Drew."
Well, the thing is, you can never actually assume that anybody's heard of it, but she must not recognize you, otherwise she wouldn't have said that.
Anybody who knows about the web knows about FARC. FARC, F-A-R-K .com. Great to talk to you, Drew.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks so much, Drew. Talk to you later.
Later.
Oh, it's so great. I tell you, that was always fun, that segment we would do. Sometimes I cringe.
He's very good. We know this sort of being, you know, we call ourselves personalities where, you know, some people can turn it on, some people can't. I mean, this is his calling.
Yeah, it is. You know? That's why I thought maybe he was a poli sci major. It just seems like, you know, this is what he does. It's pretty neat. Hey, before we get to, I do want to show those, that site of all the viral videos you might have missed.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome idea. But I do want to also mention our friends at audible.com real quickly. Before we go, I was looking for, I thought maybe Drew might be on audible.com. FARC is not, but the Darwin Awards are. We were talking about the Darwin Awards, you know, dumb crooks. Every year they do these Darwin Awards. Basically, people who do really stupid things and, you know, it's just kind of proving Darwin right. These people are never going to get to reproduce. Often case because they've blown themselves up. Listen, this is the Darwin Awards. There's four of these volumes on here. This is the Darwin Awards. Evolution in Action, a little Audible book.
Oscar Wilde said, "To lose one parent may be regarded as a misfortune. To lose both seems like carelessness. If you fry yourself along with your parents while rewiring their outdoor hot tub during a thunderstorm, you may be eligible for a Darwin Award."
It's incredible. These are all true stories. I know kids love these because they're just dumb crooks, dumb people. Darwin Awards 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, all available at audible.com. Now, here's how you can get it for free if you'd like. Go to audible.com/night, and you can have it absolutely free. Hey, pick one of them. You don't get all four. But I tell you what, once you join Audible, you're going to want all four. I fill up my iPod. I'll just tell you how many books are on my iPhone
now. Please do.
I just think it's so.
Let me guess. 500
I don't have every one, but I have 38 books on here. I've over the last 9 years, I started using Audible in 2000, and over the last 9 years, over 300 books. You're not so far off, but I don't have all 300 on here. Although you could, because, you know, a book is only about 100 megabytes. You know, it's not as big as you might think.
16-gig iPhone, I could put a lot of books on.
You could put a lot of books on here.
That's right.
I've got Nobody's Fool by Richard Russo. I've got Team of Rivals, just finished that. I could take that off. Titus Groan by Mervyn Peake. Mountains Beyond Mountains, Tracy Kidder. Memory of Running, Me Talk Pretty One Day, the David Sedaris books.
That's a good one.
Oh, great stuff. Legacy of Ashes, that one's going on for a while. That's the history of the CIA. That's quite a long book. Nicholson Baker's latest. I'm reading Hermann Hesse's The Glass Bead Game right now. Just, it's really fun. Dune, the dramatization. Audible.com/night. The idea of having these great books, somebody to read to you, whether you're, when you're driving on your commute or you're working out at the gym or just walking the dog. It's wonderful. I actually take time to listen to my Audible books. My son was sick at home. I set him up with his book so he could listen. It's a great way to, you know, just get some reading done.
Do you think that you get more, there must be some study, you know, that's been conducted of how people's imaginations are different if they're read to, rather than, you know, they can close their eyes and they don't even have to actually be reading and taking the sort of brain power and muscles?
I think so. I think it goes right into your ears and it's like a visceral experience. I've mentioned this before. It's soothing. It's more vivid. Maybe it is just for me. I mean, it also depends if you're, you know, an oral person or, you know, you need visual or whatever. But for me, and I think I am, I'm one of those people that listens. And I think anybody who listens to podcasts is probably like that. The stuff that comes through my ears has more power for me. But
than stuff that you read silently?
Yeah. Oh, no
really?
Question.
Huh. I wonder what it is for me. I don't know. I've never really thought about what carries more weight.
Set up with an Audible account. You should try it. It's really great. I sometimes think I've seen a movie of a book and there never was a movie made because I listened to it and it was so vivid.
And you remember it like it existed.
Totally remember it like it existed.
Oh, that's bizarre.
It is. It's cool. Audible.com/night. We thank them for their support of Net at Night.
Indeed. Hey, you know what's funny? We were talking about Tech Live.
Yeah.
And guess who popped up in my IM window?
Who?
Literally during this very show, Simon Cadiz.
Oh, I love Simon. He was our camera operator on Tech Live.
He was. And he and some of those other guys who all left Tech TV for greener pastures on the roadie, you know, life are in Mexico City working with, I don't remember who. Somebody.
They did the Rolling Stones for a while, didn't they? Our director, Chris Adair. Chris went to
Janet
CNN.
Janet Jackson.
Oh, man. They had a good time. It was the other Chris Strand, who directed the Rolling Stones.
That's right. Chris Strand. I think Chris Adair did,
CNN. And Erica Hill. Hey, she's done okay. Another news anchor from our
Who's
Tech
that?
Live.
Erica Hill.
You
never heard
of her. And she married David Yount. You know, somebody told me David, did you tell me, is a lawyer? Did you know
that? I'm not sure, but I wouldn't doubt it because he's really smart. They have a son.
Yeah.
Really cute kid. Yeah. They're my Facebook friends, so I get their updates.
I know, that's
how
I know what's going on with all these people.
Oh, yeah. Erica's, I mean, you know, I watch her on Anderson Cooper, and I'm always like, yay! Even though, you know, she's so talented, she doesn't even really need, you know,
some of this shtick she does, though. I feel like she learned doing Call for Help with me, because we would do this great back and forth. You know, she'd be in the newsroom and then she'd show up on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd do shtick back and forth. And she's really good at that. And I see some of that in the Anderson Cooper stuff. And I think, I know where she started doing that. But didn't she start doing radio for us? She did Tech TV Radio or ZDTV Radio.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, she was an intern. Yeah, and was working sort of the radio side. And sort of rocketed up, you know, somebody obviously listened to her and went, she should really be doing something. Sit here and, you know, talk to the world. And she really is a star. Beautiful. Yeah.
It's kind of neat. It's kind of neat.
A really good success story.
Yeah.
Not that we don't all have them, but Eric in particular. So I know, just a little reminiscing.
You should have seen this.com. Where did you find this? This is great.
All right. Well, I originally saw it on Twitter via Veronica, who got it from BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed. So that is...
She loves BuzzFeed. We should give a plug to BuzzFeed, too.
BuzzFeed for life. Yes. So this is... You should have seen this.com. You know, it's a pretty easy URL. And I opened it up and I thought, oh, okay. It's, you know, it's a group of a bunch of, you know, viral videos from years past. You know, the the Numa Numas and the, you know, Dramatic Chipmunk and Star Wars Kid and blah, blah, blah. But there's 99 of them. Okay. So just under 100. And I looked through all of these last night and, you know, you can't help but click on some of them and, you know, watch your favorites. And I mean, I think they've got everything.
I haven't seen some of these. Drunk Jeff Goldblum. Have you seen that one?
That was new to me, too. I looked at a lot of these last night, so now I've seen it, yes. But no, I hadn't.
I think the greatest gift of the holidays is internet. I'd say internet. Yes, absolutely. It's of course, as easy as it's always been. You get an iMac, 10 minutes out of the box, you're on the internet. But now Apple gives you your own personal website. You can post your photographs.
It's so sad.
What's the story? Is he actually drunk? What's the story?
All over the world and your...
That's bizarre.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a sort of a Paula Abdul.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He wasn't... They slowed it down. He wasn't really drunk. Yeah, okay. They took an Apple ad. But if you slow him down... He does kind of sound a little.
So it's just a ha-ha. Was that a YouTube video?
Yeah, YouTube video. Apple ad, Drunk Jeff Goldblum.
Drunk Jeff Goldblum.
That's number 39 on the list of the 100, actually 99, videos you should have seen.
You know what?
What's your favorite?
I have to say has, Dramatic Chipmunk is my favorite thing ever. That or the little kitten that throws up. You know, I like things involving animals. But I have to say that All Your Base has really aged well. I watched the whole thing last night. You remember how popular that was?
Yeah.
I feel like that was the first real viral video
right.
that I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
That everybody, you know, we'd play
All
over
Your
and
Base
over and
belonged to us. Yep.
And it was sort of something that, like, if you didn't understand what that term meant, you were not in the club.
Right.
And, you know, it kind of just, those sorts of internet memes that, you know, that got passed along.
I wonder what the first one. I mean, Hamster Dance is older. It's not a video, but Hamster Dance was.
Is it older?
It's got to be a little older, yeah.
I guess it has to be.
I wonder
be,
what
yeah.
the oldest one.
I would love to know because I was thinking about this. I'm looking through all of these because some of these are really old, almost 10 years. And I thought, I think All Your Baser Belong to Us is the first one that I remember. I remember Peanut Butter Jelly Time.
Yeah.
It's still funny.
Yep, still funny.
I just think about it and I'm laughing. God,
still
I'm,
funny.
You know, I'm never going to grow up.
Why
but,
do these things... All right, Dr. Lane.
Yes. Yes, Dr. LaFleur.
All these base... All your base belong... Why... This is pretty funny.
Someone set up Azkaban.
I actually have to... Wait a minute, I have to look at this now.
Main screen, turn on. It's you.
How are you, gentlemen? All your base are belong to us.
This is real, right?
You are on the way to destruction.
Yeah, it's a real game.
You have no chance to survive, mate. Your time. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha. Ha ha. Why is it? Why is it? This is my question. These things get stuck in our mind. What is it about these? What makes something go viral? Do you have any theory, Dr. Lane?
Dr. LaPorte, I'm glad you asked. I think that it has a lot less to do with the video and more to do with being part of, you know, the cool kids. And that's why things, they grow so exponentially. Now, of course, okay, All Your Base, it's funny because it's a game that was translated badly, you know, Japanese, and, you know, something was lost in translation, so it's funny. But it's funnier to make that reference at dinner later on, and the people who understand you, you know, you have sort of this superiority feeling over the people who don't get it. I'm not saying the people who participate in, you know, the internet are jerks or, you know, superior, but that's just the nature of people. And let's be honest, a lot of things on the internet are kind of juvenile. You know, we're all back in grade school again.
It is. It's like high school. Twitter is high school.
Totally. Yeah,
there were two viral videos mentioned or referred to on the Academy Awards. And boy, that tells you that this stuff is really, if it can be made the butt of a joke, it's spread. Do you know what
they
were?
I'm trying to think now.
There were two of them.
I watched the whole thing front to back, so I didn't miss it.
Okay, Ben Stiller.
The Joaquin Phoenix.
He was doing Joaquin Phoenix.
He was doing the Joaquin.
He was
Phoenix
sending
video.
Up the David Letterman Joaquin Phoenix video.
Totally.
Which I
totally.
Know that you weren't sure if it was real or not. I'm convinced that was real. That was not a setup.
I'm starting to think it was real because it would be the most atrocious joke at this point.
Yeah.
And he'd really, you know, people would be really mad at him.
Well, what do you think he thought when he tunes in the Academy Awards and Ben Stiller is doing him? He put his chewing gum on the podium.
Well, you know, the Independent Spirit Awards were the night before. That's yeah. actually a really fun award show, by the way. You should watch it sometime. It's very casual and people are crazy and a lot of cussing. It's weird. But they did that joke that night and I thought, oh, wow, this is so edgy and funny. Then Stiller did it the next night and I thought, gosh, if you're Joaquin Phoenix, this better not be a joke.
You're the butt of a joke now. You better step up and say, oh, I was just kidding.
And I feel like Hollywood is kind of going like, Joaquin, you know, we're laughing at you.
It's a big WTF is what it is. It's like, yeah. But I was watching that. I was thinking, do you think that, I mean, look, there's a billion people watching this. Many of them never heard of David Letterman. Do you think that what did they think was going on?
I think, yeah, I mean, good question. I certainly didn't watch it on Dave Letterman. I know who Letterman is.
I only saw it because you linked to it.
Right. I mean, I rarely watch Letterman. I'm usually asleep or, I don't know, doing something else at 11:30. But I read about it on, I don't remember what it was. It might have been Defamer or Gawker or something the next day. And I went, oh, my God, what is going on here? And then everybody was talking about it. Actually, that's not even true. The story was Kevin Pereira, who works on Attack of the Show, sent it to me after the East Coast feed. And it hadn't even happened on the West Coast yet. So we felt special and we were doing all the speculation.
Right.
And then it kind of.
That's right. I saw it before it aired too, because I saw your link. All right.
Yeah. So
that was one. There is one other one you might not have caught. It went I didn't catch it at first. Will Smith on the Oscars.
And now,
listen.
Outstanding. Ooh, boom goes the dynamite. And now.
Boom goes the dynamite.
I don't know that one.
Oh, you do know that one.
Do I?
You do. If you do a Google on Boom Goes the Dynamite, here, I'll play it for you.
Made that reference on Twitter, and I thought he was the first person to ever say it.
No, it was Will Smith, but he was referring to this very, very famous viral video. I hope this is on the list. If it's not, it sure ought to be. Boom Goes the Dynamite. This was a college kid who was just getting his start in broadcasting, doing an internet, during a college TV show. You remember?
We're hoping to continue off of their straight 3 out of 4 losses.
The bad sportscaster?
I've never seen this.
Oh, this is the most painful thing you've ever seen. This poor kid.
Aww.
Matt Lawrence is the latest Cardinals tennis player to win the award. Lamar won all the singles and doubles matches last week. So far, the Cardinals have had a player honored on the weekly awards. Seven out of the 9 weeks. The Cards will play at Boise State.
Somebody just wandered behind him, by the way.
It's like Dan Heward.
And he's really young. And then now, okay, so now he's going to do an Indiana Pacers game. Now, this is like Sports Channel, you know. They're practicing.
Yeah.
He's going to do the play-by-play.
Spot. Let's check out the highlights.
It hurts.
They're showing the highlights. He doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Steven Jackson's David.
He can't follow.
He can't follow it.
Reggie Miller's looking good. He shoots a three, and it's good.
He shoots a three.
Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
And there's the boom goes the dynamite.
The final scores ended up with the Pacers 63 to the next.
And
61.
You just have to watch the whole video because it's painful for all of us who've worked in television, have been in there. In that seat, it's
totally.
Now that's not on the list because I'm surprised. Boom goes the dynamite. So
no, it might be. I didn't watch all 99 of these.
I have to do a search for boom.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's number 37 on the list. Boom goes the dynamite.
See, they've left no stone unturned. I do see at the bottom.
Not safe for work stuff. Don't click that.
Going to click or talk about it. I'm just saying. I will say that the one very obvious not safe for work video that was popular over the last year or whatever. I thought, obviously they deliberately left it off. Well, you know. If,
no, they put it there. There's four of them.
They know what they were leaving off and why.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the very first viral video, certainly the first one I ever saw, is the dancing baby video.
Oh, well, yeah.
You remember that one, the dancing baby?
You know what? You're right. I think because dancing baby came around and then it was got popular sort of to the mainstream because of that show, Ally McBeal. But dancing baby was around before
Ally
McBeal.
That's right. She kept having dreams about a dancing baby.
She had dreams about the dancing baby, and that was most people's first introduction. And the rest of us were like, we knew dancing baby last year. You know, so that was what, 1998 or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was even maybe 96. The dancing baby came from, I think it was a Sun Workstation demo. I'll have to ask. I'm going to play it for you so you can see it or listen if you're only listening. But this was really very popular. I think it was the mid 90s. And it was a I still laugh at it. I can't stop this feeling. Now they put the music to what I think was a Sun demo of a 3D rendering machine, and I'm thinking 96, 97, that dancing baby.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the first, as far as I'm concerned, that's the first.
That was the first. I think you have hit the nail on the head.
We finally found the very first.
And we're calling it Dancing Baby.
I think we should. Now, is this on his list? I don't know if it is. It is.
I think it's number one. No, it's Dancing Baby.
Rape Stomp is number
four.
One. Charlie Bit Me, which I love.
Charlie bit me.
Chocolate rain. That's what we should do. We should sing or take one line from. This would be a great contest. One line from each of these.
Ooh.
I don't know if I've seen Charlie and the Unicorn. Mentos and Diet Coke.
Where he gets his kidneys stolen.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
It's not that funny.
Not that good. Numa Numa. Yeah. Everybody knows.
Everyone knows Numa Numa.
Peanut Butter Jelly Time, George Lucas in Love. That's a great fan movie.
Now, a couple of these are actually sites like Ask a Ninja. The website is on here. So Ask a Ninja, obviously, it's not just one little thing. It's, you know, a wealth of episodes.
Boy, that's the highest honor, to be the whole site be viral.
I know.
All right, quickly, because we're running out of time.
No, Leo.
It's too much fun. Alltop.com. You want to vote for this one? This is Guy Kawasaki's. He calls it a magazine stand for the internet.
Have you and Amber talked about Alltop in the past?
We have never talked about Alltop.
Because I'm fairly new to Alltop, and I am loving it when I just want to kind of, you know, it's almost like a different version of an RSS feed in a way. You know, like I'm really interested in the subdomain lifehacks.alltop.com. Oh, we should probably explain what Alltop is. Alltop is a little bit better for people who aren't familiar with it. Yeah, it's Guy Kawasaki, of course, who, you know, is well known for a lot of really successful things besides Trumers. And
which I love, by the way, and I don't know if that's succeeding, but that's a great site.
I don't think it's, I don't hear about Trumers much, but yeah, I think the concept's really good too. It's kind of a bit of a tech meme kind of a feel, but for many other things. Alltop basically, you say, I want something about travel, you know, because I like travel a lot, so I love to read about travel things. So Alltop is kind of going like, we got, you know, New York Times travel, we've got, you know, this specific travel blog, and so on and so on, and they have like 50 of those. And then you've got the top 5 stories from all of those 50 blogs or sites or something that, you know, is aggregating content. And then if you hover over any of these, the headlines that you see, you know, for example, if I'm looking under life hacks, they've got Dumb Little Man, you know, that website, Tips for Life on Dumb Little Man. And I can hover over 13 things you must balance in your life. And it's kind of like a truncated RSS feed where it doesn't show you the entire article because that would be quite a hover box.
Right.
But it shows you enough so that if you're interested, you can click onto the article. Now you think, well, this isn't very novel. People are sort of doing things like this already. And that's true. But I really like how they've organized all of their topics. You know, life hacks, getting things done, tech, really good. I mean, news, for example. You know, I've been thinking about news a lot because I've been doing some work at Current. You know, so everything's about, you know, top stories and news. And I'm loving it. I'm finding everything I need to find just by going to tech.alltop.com, for example. It's been...
Is he keeping it... Now, I'm looking at the Twitter pickup mantra, always be linking, and it looks like he's keeping these up to date, but you're saying it's just RSS feeds? So they've picked the blogs, and then they're just putting the top five stories in there?
Right. There is some... There's some editorial, and there's some aggregate action going on.
The editorial is in picking the sites that are referred to in each category.
Yeah, I mean, the websites are picked because, you know, Alltop considers them leaders in their particular field.
Got it.
What's nice is that some of the really obvious stuff that you would expect to be there is, and then there's inherently some, you know, blogs I've never heard of because I'm never, you know, when I think about life hacks, I think about, oh, Life Hacker, or, you know, whatever Gene is up to lately, or maybe lifehack.org, and that's, you know, maybe it's Merlin Mann's website, and that's about it. Well, there are a lot of them. There are a lot more than I, you know, or websites that I just haven't thought of in a while, like Parent Hacks, or the Weekly Review, for example. So yeah, I'm into it. I think if you're a news junkie, and when I say news, I don't just mean, you know, world news, but niche news. I think you should give it a try.
That's alltop.com. Yeah, well, it's funny because I initially, when I first saw it, and I think a lot of people had this reaction, it was sparse. It was only a few categories, and we thought, well, what's the point? This is just a bunch of links. But now
it's pretty robust.
It's got so many links. It's gotten so deep that it really has. And I think this must be what Guy Kawasaki envisioned, which was something much, much deeper.
I think so too. Yeah, it's you know, he says it's sort of like a magazine rack, and I don't know. I guess to me, magazines are so visual that that's not the way that I would have described it. But I get what he means.
Right.
You know, it's like you're looking at all these different publications, and you're looking at the covers, and there are all these headlines, and you know, you just pick up what you want.
It's kind of neat because I think it's like Mahalo. It's human generated. So these are lists, these are subjective lists, admittedly subjective lists that some human being has come along and said, well, I think these are the top sports sites. These are the top baseball sites, you know, these are the top cricket sites. But in a way, that's fine. This is what the web used to be. A lot of this stuff, these meta pages where somebody would put together links to all the great baseball sites. And I always recommended people search for those first as a way to get started. That's kind of what he's done here. I like it. Alltop.com.
Like
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to,
you know, just what we need, another place to read a bunch of stuff.
It's all about grazing these days. Sarah Lane. You can catch Sarah Lane on This Week in Fun every Friday on the Twit Live Network. It's Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern at live.twit.tv with Martin Sargent. We are working on making that a video download because we know people want that.
Yes,
and I think maybe even soon we'll be there. We've I think we've figured out some of the techniques anyway. And also,
that's very exciting. By
your
the way.
Blog is sarahlane.com.
That's right, and in fact, it's a lovely website. You learn more than you'd ever want to know about me if you go there. Right now, speaking of This Week in Fun, you know we had our This Week in Fun song.
Yeah, Gabe McGee did that. Yeah,
Gabe McGee has a challenger. And so I have like a little, like, you know, it's a little challenge going on my blog to, you know, tell us who you like better. And then the winner takes all or advances to the next round. Or I don't really know what the rules are yet. But it's good. You know, it's so fun to have people be making songs for us and sending them in and caring enough to do it. So it's been a great little experiment so far. And so, you know, we owe all to you, Leo, for letting us sit in your little world.
Well, and thanks to Odd TV, you do at least have these flash videos so people can watch the shows.
If I ever meet these Odd TV people, Kiwi Nerd, I'm looking at you. I'm going to buy you flowers or something.
Yep.
Yes, they are. I love fans.
And I love I love the pictures she picks for the poster shots of the various shows. I think they're quite funny.
Yeah.
SarahLane.com. You can find out more. Sarah with an H. And you're using, I just wanted to, the blogging tool they're using is, what is it called? Squaresite?
Squarespace.
We got to talk about that. They want to advertise on the show. And I've been actually pretty impressed. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. The thing about Squarespace that, you know, a lot of blogging engines, they all have sort of their different methods of doing all the same thing. And what I like about Squarespace is that so many people want to get beyond a basic template, but are really uncomfortable with style sheets. Anything CSS is like, you know, they're just, they don't know how to do it, or they don't want to take the time, and that's totally understandable. And Squarespace has some sort of real-time visual ways to get around that, like, you know, if you want
to really
increase
pretty.
The width of a sidebar or something.
You know, I played with it. Really, it was really cool. Now, yeah, and your previous site was WordPress?
It was Typepad.
Typepad. And it just imported it all, and you got right up to speed like that?
Correct.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Squarespace, what you can do is you can import a journal, and then, you know, Squarespace is sort of treating it like a journal in addition to your current content, and then you can merge the two.
Oh, that's really
And it'll bring over categories and call them tags too. So, you know, if you're somebody like me who really, categories are really important to me,
right,
to filter through content, you really don't, I didn't lose anything. Had a little bit of an issue on import with some of my images were squashed. The ratio got weird, but for the most part, considering how much content I have, I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all really important to me. I don't want to miss a thing.
It's a big issue. It's a big issue. And
Big issue.
Yeah. You got to
move this. It was relatively painless for me. And I know WordPress people don't always say the same thing. So.
Well, I will call them up and say, okay, we'll do an ad. Because I hadn't used it before. I was very impressed. You and Kevin are both using it. And then
both
I set up a site
it,
last night on it. And I was really blown away. I thought, wow, this is really neat.
So it's nice. Cool. Yeah, it's different. It's different.
It is. It's very different.
They do a lot of things. It's been a bit of a learning curve, but I'm sticking with it. So
good.
That says something.
Also, I want to thank Digital Panther, who tells me that the Dancing Baby was a demo in the first version of 3D Studio Max.
Oh, that makes sense. I feel like I knew that. From. Digital Panther?
Yeah, he's great in our chat room. I know. Isn't that a good name?
So
I don't know when the first version of 3D Studio Max came out, but that was a long time ago.
Is 3D Studio Max still called that? Isn't it just Studio Max now?
Probably. It's from Autodesk. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Everything's 3D implied now.
It's all 3D. We're even 3D. Watch.
I'm 3D right now. Z-axis.
SarahLane.com. Sarah, we'll see you next week.
Okay, Leo.
On Net
it was fun.
Bye.
Bye.